to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord.
Yeah, anybody have that testimony? I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about the testimony that God has been good. Amen. We thank God for the success of the anniversary and the church dedication. Amen. We just thank God. We thank God for all of those who traveled back safely. Amen. And for God giving Deacon George the grace to drive to Georgia and back. Amen. Amen. Bishop said, does he drive like this all the time? I said, Bishop, when you hang with me, you gotta drive. But I said, no, he drives like that all the time. But nevertheless, we just thank God. We thank God for my wife. Amen. We thank God for everyone in their respective places and for God being God. And I thank God for everyone that labored last week to make it a success. Amen. For those that labored, for those that cleaned outside, those that worked in the kitchen, those that cooked. Amen. Everyone that did anything, we thank God. Our bishop in Georgia always says this. He says, success is not a solo event. Right? Success for a church is not a solo event. Amen. It's all what we all do together. Amen. And once we try to do it by ourselves, we won't have success. And God, as God spoke to Joshua as he took over from Moses, he said, if you observe to do all, if you hold on to the word, then you're going to have good success, right? So if you can have good success, it can also be bad success. Amen. And years ago, it just came to my mind, we preached a message on the sin of success, right? Because the sin of success is when the success takes priority and precedence over what should be. Amen. So tonight we just want to thank God for all that he's doing. And you know, it started last week actually, the Lord just started dealing with me about this subject. And the subject we want to deal with tonight is trying to be more like Jesus. Anybody want to be more like Jesus? I said you want to be more like, we call ourselves Christians. To be Christian is what? To be Christ-like. So even last week we're dealing more, we want to be more like Jesus. And you know, a lot of times when the Lord will put a message on your heart, if you don't write it down and take notes, you forget it. But I didn't forget this one. Amen. I try to write notes, but notes are a hard thing for me to do. Because when you begin to teach and the Spirit takes over, you zone in and you zone out. So you zone into the Spirit, but you zone out of them notes. Amen. I tried doing notes, but I use them notes, I get messed up. But I do have notes. Amen. But sometimes you deviate a little bit. Let us stand, though. Who has recuperated from last week? Everybody recuperated? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for CSI. We haven't seen CSI in a long time. Thank God for CSI. And as I said, thank God for CSI. Sister Dolly stayed with us. Amen. We just thank God for all that he's done. Amen. Thank God for saying my grandson, I call him String Bean. He's getting taller and taller. He's 13 years old and 6'4". Right? That's a 6'4 and skinny. We thank God for seeing him and Avia being with us. We just thank God for everything. Amen. Well, we're going to read in St. John's, the 7th chapter, and old St. John's, the 8th chapter, and Romans chapter 2, and there is a slew of other scriptures which we may or may not get to. Amen. But St. John's chapter 7, we're going to read verses 19 through 24. If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. So let us start. Verse 19 says, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one word, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcised a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Once again, he said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. May the Lord add us to the reading of his word, and the church said, bless all men, so you may have a seat. If we were to title this message tonight, the title would be, A Great Desire to Be Like Jesus. Not just an ordinary desire, but a great desire to be like Jesus. And I was looking up the numerous times that Jesus, the scripture said, Jesus had compassion on someone when they were going through something. Amen. I'm so glad that I never heard the Lord say when someone was going through something, you got just what you deserve. I'm so glad God never said that. I'm so glad when God looks at me, and even the time that I messed up and didn't get it right, I'm so glad he didn't say, you got just what you deserve. Hallelujah. But God always looks at us through love. And because he sees us through the eyes of love, he always has mercy. And because of his mercy, even when we mess up, he still has compassion. So tonight, I want to be more like Jesus. And this text, the Lord is dealing with the so-called religious leaders because they were okay for some things, but then they were very critical and judgmental in other areas. Amen? So some things they just went along smoothly, but then there were other things they were so critical over. Amen. And the reference that he's making here is to the fifth chapter of John. We're going to go there and then we'll come back to this. He tells him, he says, you all are upset with me because I did something good and it was against your law. Right? They were looking more at what was the principle of the law than what was the character of God. The principle of the law said on the seventh day, you shouldn't do anything. But Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm not subject to the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is subject to me because I'm the Lord of all. Amen. But they wanted to stone Jesus because of what he did on the Sabbath. But let's go to John chapter 5 just to get a little clearer understanding for what the Lord meant when he said, don't judge according to the appearance, he said, but judge righteous judgment. As a people, and in church especially, I was speaking to someone, several people actually, and we were saying it's amazing how Christians continually keep they wounded. You know somebody's hurt and they're going through, and don't show an absolute vow of compassion. Somebody's down and out, and you put your foot on them. This is insane, all right? So don't take it first, right? This is a sign that I ain't talking to you. Lesson is you, right? But Christians, and we were talking about it, they can easily tell somebody what they should be doing and what they ought to do until they get in that position. You ever notice that? Somebody get all the advice till they go through it. Well, tonight, we want to be more like Christ. There's only one time in the Bible where Jesus got angry, and that was when they were defiling the temple. When they were stealing and selling doves and doing unrighteous stuff, that's the only time Jesus got angry because it was a violation of God's word. Amen. If you're going to get angry, don't get angry at simple stuff. Can I say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
But let's go here. Let's deal with what Jesus was dealing with. All right, John chapter 5, and we'll read this quickly. It says, after this, verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of important folks, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So there was a need. There was a need. Amen. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there. We're talking about the Lord. Amen. God knows everything we need well before we need it. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So the Lord sees everybody there waiting to be healed, but in particular, he notices a certain man. Lord, I want to be that certain man. I don't care how long I've been going through, just notice me. The scripture says when Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The important man answered him, "Sir," you ever go through something for a long time, and we're trying to be more like Jesus, right? You ever go through something and it is not pleasant? And somebody asks you, would you like something? And you just snap them up. Of course, right? You ask me a question like that, that's a dumb question. This is something about not y'all. Y'all smile, y'all be making me think I'm talking to you. I ain't talking to y'all, smile. I'm saying you be going through something so much that somebody comes to say something, and by the time you finish, they done shrunk back in the chair. Right? Because you've been going through this for a long time, and y'all don't understand what I'm going through. This man has been this way for how long? But notice his response to the master. Right? He didn't say, you asked me a dumb question. What do you think? Just saying what the tendency of today's people are. He says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus says unto him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." I don't have to wait for the angels. I don't have to wait for the trouble in the water. All I have to do is speak to your situation. He said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." It had to be something about Jesus' words. Because the next verse says, "And the man that go through said, well, you don't know what the doctor said, and I've been like this for so long, and this and the other." When the Lord spoke, the man's face was a son. When the Lord spoke, he didn't wait. He acted out. Amen. I said, "You all want some help? Lord, I ain't waiting for tomorrow. I'm going to do it right now. I want God to move in right now." So immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the... What the hell? Wouldn't you think the healing would be more important than the principles? Right? We're talking about the miracle, but somebody else is all hung up on the principles. Right? We're just talking about those Christians, not us Christians. So y'all can say amen. They were caught up on the principles, but they missed the most important thing was the man was healed. Just because the principal said don't work on the Sabbath day. Now, we're going to get back to this a little later when we get back to John. Okay, but we will finish this now. It says, immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the..." What are you doing? It's the Sabbath day. "It is not lawful for thee to carry..." I did. Right? Jesus, that's why the scripture said, when you judge righteous judgment. Don't judge based on what you see and think. Because if somebody shout. But the principle will block the miracles. Listen, the principles will block the miracles. So instead of us focusing on what God has done, we get hung up on principles. Amen. You ever know people that get hung up? God is moving, God is working, and say, well, you ought not to do this. Leave those principles alone. If God has touched somebody, you ought to rejoice. Amen. He answered, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and. But they're not dealing with the fact that a miracle is just taking place because of principles. I wonder tonight, thank God, none of y'all, this is for the internet. How many of us are missing the miracles and blessings of God because we can't leave the principles alone? Right? We can't leave the principles alone. That's why the scripture is therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine. Let us go on to perfection. Some of us kids can't get past first base. Anybody play baseball? You ain't seen baseball, right? First base is where you start. That ain't where you end. You're supposed to end in what? But some of us got the first base and we just shouting and jumping and hopping and skipping. We just so happy. That's just the beginning. You still got some journey to go. But you can't get past the principle. The principle is the beginning. You know, we don't have time there, but just in your free time, go read Hebrews 6, verses 1 through like 3, right? So therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine, let us go on to perfection. Many of the saints haven't left the principles. Right? So somebody's, can I give y'all a slight scenario? I will make sure it doesn't apply to any of you. But I might. You know somebody, you ever say, you know, we've been saved for a while and we go through a low. And then our low, all we want is somebody just to pray and say a word of encouragement. And while I'm waiting, I see someone coming and I'm so happy. Here come a child of God. I know I'm about to get some encouragement. And here come an old principal child of God. I say, well, you ought to know better. And then your mind is like, wait a minute. That ain't what I'm looking for. Encouragement. You see I'm already down. Don't push me lower. But the principal child say, well, don't you pray? Don't you read your Bible? Don't you fast? Don't you believe God? That's your problem. No, that ain't what we need to do. Right? Jesus saw the man, he had compassion. That's why we need to be more like Jesus. You know, like, well, hey, did you hear such and such? They just had a bad time. Well, you know what they used to do? That ain't what you're supposed to do. We're talking about saved individuals. All right, I got to say, of course, because I don't want to keep you all on the line right now. I got a lot more scripture. I'm just saying, don't you be a principal child of God. All caught up in the principle. I'm so glad. I heard what Paul said. Paul said, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. I wonder how many of us tonight are caught up in the principles of the letter and would neglect the spirit. Say ouch. Say something. Right? I'm talking about, well, you know, years ago we used to do it like this. This is not years ago. And our God, do you know what it means when God is case specific? Case specific means what God does for me, God won't do for Elder Mackey. Because my case is not this case. Right? What God will do for Sister Camp, Evangelist First Lady Camp, he won't do for Mother Tansley because they are case specific. So because God is a case specific God, we can't say, well, this is what I can't say, well, Elder Mackey, this is what God did for me, so he ought to do that for you, because the case is different. Right. So in me encouraging Elder Mackey, I said, you know, God can do anything. You just pray and get the mind of God and let God speak to you. I can't say, well, how do you all like this? You all messed up. You've been saved long enough to be better than that. That ain't God. A great desire to be more like. So we're going to continue. Let's continue this course here. All right. So the man is healed. He's taking up his bed. And instead of people rejoicing in the miracle, they all hung up in the principles. Can't rejoice because of the principles. Amen. So he said, verse 13 said, and he that was healed was not who it was, but Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Now we're still dealing with the principal child of God, right? Always gotta do it according to the letter of the law. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. After Jesus findeth him in the temple, verse 14, he said to him, behold, thou art made whole, sin. He didn't even tell him what his situation was. He didn't say you like this because of sin. He said that God has blessed you. Don't go back to what got you messed up. He says, what? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, and therefore did the Jews. Wait a minute. You principal child of God, why are you all upset when God has blessed somebody? You all upset God is blessing and you still caught up in the principles. Right. So they persecuted Jesus. Not only did they persecute him, the scripture says that they go on to say they sought to hold on. Just because he did something good, you want to slay him? So then that brings us back to John chapter 7, so you can understand what the Lord is saying. Okay? So he says now he's dealing with them concerning Moses and the law of the principle. Alright? He said, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you really, y'all don't keep the whole law. And then he's going to go on to explain what he means. Principal child of God that can tell everybody else what to do until it comes your way. Right? Well, you know, it's true, right? If I was you, and if I was you, then when you are in that position, you're worse than anything, right? Because you call upon the principles. So did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one word, and ye all marveled. You know what he's talking about? Is having healed this man on the seventh day. He said, I did one thing, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the seventh day, he said, on the seventh day, you will circumcise a man because of the principle. Right? So he's dealing, he said that something so insignificant as circumcision, you would do that on the seventh day. He said, if a man on the seventh day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man everywhere? He said, so you call with a little thing, well, and you would do the little stuff, you know, the little stuff, like circumcision. But look what I've done. I've made a man whole, and you're angry at me. We're talking about what? Principles. Right? So Moses gave the law, and he's dealing with them concerning Moses and the law. Now let us go to John chapter 8. Lord, if I could just be like Jesus. The one thing that we need to do more in church is not be so judgmental. Amen. I don't repeat where I came from much, and I won't repeat it tonight. But I've learned through what I went through not to judge. Even through all of that, I pray for them. You know what? One of the bishops said, you know, our bishop, he said, every soul is important to God. I can't let my wounds cause me to have a bad spirit. You with me? I can't let my hurts and my disappointments of the past cause me to have a bad spirit. Because I focus on the principle of what happened and I miss the blessing and the miracles, what God is doing in my midst. Right? Because that principle will put up a wall, so even when God is moving, it don't touch you. Because you're all caught up in the principle of what it should be or shouldn't be, or they shouldn't do this or he or this. Or how about just let God be God? And then God being God, God will do what he wants to do. Now we're going to deal again with principles. Amen? And this is the main scripture that the Lord was, ever since last week, I was like, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this, right? In this scripture, the other one I needed to do that so we can understand about judging not by the outward appearance, all right? Judge, he said, let's go back to 7 verse 24 for one quick second. So we can, I just want to break this down in the Greek so you can understand. In judging, in 7:24, he says, judge. That word means judge means leave your personal opinions out of it. That's the Greek word that means your personal opinion. Right? So he says, judge not. God said, leave your personal opinions out of this. Now just let God and the word of God be true. Does not the scripture say, let God be what? True, and every man a liar. So he says, this word judge means a personal opinion. You know, we all will have an opinion if we look at situations. But he says, judge not according to the what, don't judge based on what you see. But he said, judge, righteous judgment means judge as though you were God. Judge the situation as though you were God. You know, it's sort of like, you ever have a trouble and you say, Lord, just have mercy on me. God, I need help. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Anybody ever did that? You did. I already said, don't even dive away from the answer. You did, because we all do it. Because we're humans, right? And if you did it, you will be doing it. And if you think you didn't do it, you're tired. But nevertheless, let's get back to this. So he said, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, I need your help. Oh, God, you just don't know what I'm going through. Then your brother and sister go through the same thing. You get them all pious and righteous and say, you ought to be stronger than that. That is not encouragement. Are you with me? Somebody's going through something, have a bowel of compassion. I say, you know what? If I were you, I'd probably be the same way. The late Bishop Boulder, he was one of the greatest, one of our greatest 20th century apostolic preachers. He said, I learned something in life. He said, I've done so many funerals or homegoing services. He said, and every time I went to a homegoing service, he said, I would tell all those people on the front bench, y'all don't cry. We don't cry, rejoice, they go into heaven. This is what he said. He said, I told so many people that, rejoice. He said, but then I was sitting on the front row and my mother died. He said, I cried and I cried. He said, from that point on, when people were crying on the front row, he said, I ain't saying nothing to them. Because I learned that when I went through it, even though I had judged it prior, he said, when I went through it, he said, I understood just what they were going through. He said, so from then on, I said, I want to pray for you. And God give you grace. He didn't tell him not to cry. He said, he cried so much he didn't know what to do on the front row. So what I'm saying is, we have to learn from our experiences and the things that have happened to us. Something is so judgmental. Amen. He said, he learned. He said, he never ever again told anyone on the front row to cry. Right? Because he said, before that happened, to me, because I really didn't understand what they were going through. He said, well, when they asked me, I couldn't stop crying. That's my mother. Right? So what I'm saying is learn to put yourself sometime into other people's place and try to have some compassion and understand what they're going through. Amen. St. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, here go those people that's going by the law. The scribes were those people first and well rehearsed in the principles of being saved, of being religious. All right, the scribes brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in their midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. He says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what says thou? Right? They brought the woman. She was caught in the act. Nobody wasn't giving a report. They caught her and him. Right? So if you're caught, it has to be how many? Two. Said that Moses commanded us that he should be stoned. This they did what? To test him. That they might have to accuse him. But Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. Even when my accusers are there, even when those are there trying to stir me up, I just want to be like Jesus. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and rolled on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, the question is, were the scribes and the Pharisees, if they were going to do it according to Moses, let's see what they should have done if they were using, if it was true judgment. Amen. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and 24. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 22 through 24. Now they brought who? Just the what? The woman. Right? But they're talking about what Moses said. Remember earlier he said, Moses tell you what to do and you do it not. He said, you don't keep the law. All you do is what you want to do because you are dealing with principles and your judgment is not righteous. Righteous judgment means to do it according to the truth of God and his word. Amen. So Deuteronomy 22 and verse 22, do we all have that? Now who do they bring? Just who? Woman. Now they're talking about what Moses said. Right? This is what happens when you get too righteous. You pick and choose how you want to interpret God's word. Verse 22 said, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a man, then they shall... But who did they bring? Right? But they're talking about the principles. But they did not do the full law. Amen? Both of them died. Man that lay with the woman and the woman. But they only brought the woman. Somebody said it might have been one of the Pharisees, might have been one of the own. That's why they didn't bring him. Who knows? Right? You can use all kinds of conjecture and speculation as why they didn't bring the man, but they only brought the woman. But they're telling Jesus, who gave the law and the word, what the interpretation of the law shall be, but they're leaving some of it out. You have to be careful when you're dealing with people and they're trying to act so righteous, but they won't give you everything. Well, what happened? Well, I did this, and then in the reserve of their mind, they said, I'm gonna leave that little bit out, because that might make me look bad. So I would say, Elliot, you think that other person might have been a Pharisee or a scribe, right? Because they didn't bring him. You know, if it was a sinner, they would have brought him. So, you know, sometimes we listen to the law, all right? But he said they both died. Verse 23 says, if a damsel, a virgin, be betrothed unto a man, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then you shall bring what? Them both out to the gate of the city, and ye shall stone them with stones, and that's good enough. So now they're tempting Jesus, but they're tempting him by only relating what they want to relate. The law said, if you want to be like me, then judge righteously. But they're leaving out and they're only in the woman. What I like about Jesus, you know, God said, you can't tempt me like that. Because Because if he said stoner, they would have had a problem. If the Lord said don't stoner, they would have had a problem. So the Lord said, you know what? I'm just going to stoop down and I'm going to start writing on the ground. Well, you know, when you don't ask people sometimes and they hate their nation, they just want to keep pushing the envelope. So when they, verse 7 of this 8th chapter of John says, so when they continued asking him, they just wouldn't let it go. Right? They were hypocritical because they didn't follow the whole law, but they were trying to make the Lord respond to them. I want to be more like Jesus. Right? You can't insinuate me. You can't stir me up. Amen. I'm God and I can keep myself. The scripture says we ought to possess our vessels in sanctification. The scripture says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. We got to get it right. Hallelujah. Lord, when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone. And he, again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then they, when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. And the Greek, you know, a lot of people say, well, what did Jesus write on the ground? In the Greek, when it says being convicted by their own conscience, it means that when it is exposed what you have done wrong, you're convicted. Right? So this word, when he used being convicted by their own conscience, meaning they were exposed. Well, who exposed them? Right? A lot of people say, what are you writing on the ground? They were convicted because they were exposed. So the scripture goes on to say that, and they returned to being convicted by their their conscience was convicted, even though they were so righteous. And bringing this woman said, and then when the Lord started writing on the ground, he lifted up himself long enough and he said, look, I'm writing about you. Then he went back down. Right? So let's just continue all this. It says, and went out one by one, beginning at where the mighty God we serve. God said, you know what? I am not going to even answer you concerning this foolishness. I'm just going to start writing. And I'm going to show you how much I'm God. I'm going to start off with you, number one, the eldest. I'm going to write about your faults first. When he was exposed, that he didn't put no names there. He just started writing their sins. So when they were exposed, when they saw it, they were convicted. Their conscience said, I can't focus on this woman. Because the Lord has just exposed, and our God, only our God could have done this. He started with the oldest of the greatest, and he did it in order. Right? So as each one of them read it, that's me, I got to go. Right? He said, he that is without what? Sin, let him first cast the stone. He said, before you start doing anything, you read what I'm writing on the ground. Right? And they start reading it, and they start leaving. Right? Because their judgment was not righteous. They were doing this trying to show the Lord up. I'm so glad in church we don't do things to try and show one another up. Amen. Yeah, I'd be like Dr. Bill. Dr. Bill said, man, this microphone says some strange stuff. He'd be killing me when he does this. But he began to wipe when they saw when he was writing on the ground. Remember, being convicted means they were exposed when they saw it. Right? So the Lord started writing. And they departed from the least, from the eldest, until the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine what I'm saying? Now the Jews, when they said Lord, they knew Lord had to be God. At this time, she said, you know what? She probably could see all that stuff he was writing on the ground too. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee, go in and said no more. So we're trying to be more like Jesus. And being like Jesus, we need to change some of our ways. Right? We can always point the finger at somebody else and how they messed up and what they done wrong. But I imagine what would happen if God started writing down some of our stuff. I just said, y'all righteous, so y'all are right. But I'm just saying, in this case, if we have some people that mess up every once in a while, y'all don't mess up. So I'm just saying, but just in case, per chance, you messed up maybe yesterday, and God started writing it down, would you be able to bring the accusation against your brother or your sister when you see what he wrote down about you? I'm just curious. You ever something say, Lord, what do you think about me before I go try to expose somebody else? Amen. Right? Because as Christians, we are so fast to judge others. Then we get in that same predicament and we try to justify it. I ain't giving no examples, but I've seen people. Because if I give an example, I might hit one of y'all. You say, hey, did somebody call and tell them something? No. But I didn't give no examples. But I might just give an example, just to hit somebody. I hit myself. Well, what I'm saying is, on the serious side, we need to stop being so judgmental concerning things. And in closing, let's go to Romans chapter 2. We actually have more notes, but let's just finish here in Romans, the second chapter. Amen. We're trying to be more like Jesus. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but he came that the world through him might be saved. In our dealing with one another and the unsaved, we didn't come to condemn them. Amen. The old dogma of the apostolic faith needs to change. The old dogma. The old dogma is everybody going to hell, the dust, and this, that, and the other. We need to change some of that stuff around. Because there are some people that don't know the Lord, like we know, that they live a more pure, holy life. Amen. More compassionate, more forgiving, more kind. And say, well, I got the truth. You need to do something with the truth. Your truth, if your truth has for you acting that ugly and mean and ungodly, you don't have the truth. You might know the truth, but you don't have the truth. Amen. Because God's word is supposed to be in us, and being in us, it ought to come out. Have y'all ever seen Jesus, an ugly Jesus? I'm just curious. Y'all ever seen an ugly Jesus? Y'all can answer that, say yes or no.
No, sir.
Has anybody seen one? Don't raise your hand. Alright? There ain't no ugly Jesus. But we are a Christian, which means to be what we perchance, if it happens, and it doesn't, thank God. But if we act ugly, or moody, I wonder if Jesus ever had moods. Y'all think Jesus had moody? You think Jesus got moody? Yeah. What y'all think? Y'all think he got moody? This is interactive. Y'all think he got moody?
Yeah.
If he got moody, that means he got emotion. I don't think the Lord got emotion. Y'all think he got emotion? The only time he got emotion was when he was in the Lord's house defiled. That's right. But that's right. I'm talking about just in general. Wake up in the morning and everybody walking to speak to you is, oh, wrong way, go the other way. Are they walking to church and they all happy and they see you and say, oh, wrong direction. I'm talking about that kind of moody. You hear that like that?
No.
I don't think so. Right. But if most people saw Jesus, they were running. Every time you saw Jesus, there was always a multitude or a throng around him, so he didn't get moody. Amen. He didn't get tired. But even when he got tired, the Bible says he departed in a mountain alone to pray. Amen. And prayed all night. He wasn't moody. Sings. Kill. If you know you're having a bad moody day, fake it. Seriously, fake it. Because the whole world will be excited. Praise the Lord. I ain't gonna pick on women. Can I not pick on women? I would pick on men because I don't think men ought to be as moody, right? Because we're not supposed to have all those hormonal things in space. Yes, I'm just saying by scientifically. We ain't supposed to be moody. I tell you what, praise my brother. You know what I'm saying? We've got to reverse this thing. Let's start all over again, right? I'm just saying, why in the world is a church, male and female, come with all these moods when God's been good? God's been so good that you can't get out of yourself or whatever you're going through and project a better image? And you got all these unsaved people coming to visit the church and say, man, I went to that church. Woof! Shoo! You should have seen what went me at the door. I won't be going back there. Dealing with each other, and especially dealing with the unsaved. We need to have some more compassion. Paul talks about bowels of compassion. Let me explain something. You know why Paul changed so much after he got saved? In the back of Paul's mind, he could never forget that he was the worst of sinners. Right? So every time Paul dealt with someone, even though the situation was bad, it was the worst of sinners. Even the woman that had the spirit of divination that followed them around. Paul didn't do anything right away. He did it after a few days. Right? Because he learned, he said, you know what? You know how bad I messed up? And you see how good God has been to me and where I am today? So I can't get mad at somebody else that's messing up. Because I messed up worse than they ever could. So because I messed up, I'm going to deal with their situations. I'm going to have some compassion. Praise the Lord. Anyway. Thank you. All right. Romans chapter 2, we'll close here. It says, therefore thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou, for thou that judgest, you're doing the same thing. He said, and when you judge somebody else, you're condemning yourself because you're doing the same thing. Amen? But we are sure that the judgment of God is. That's why Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. Because it will always be according to the truth against them which commit such things. And think about this, O man, that judges them which do such thing and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of. You tell them what they should and shouldn't do, but then you turn around and you do the same thing, and you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Amen? We talk about just be like Jesus, right? You judge others, but then you do exactly what they are doing. But in your case, you say, well, God understands. Absolutely wrong. The same judgment you judge out, the Bible said, will be measured or meted back to you. If we don't learn to have some bowels of compassion and dealing with people, and we're so hard in judgment, the same thing that goes out is going to come back. And many times we understand, why do people treat me like they treat me? I just don't understand. Take a few minutes and think, how did you treat others? Saved or unsaved? God does not give us an exclusionary clause to say, when you're dealing with unsaved, you can act ugly. He never said it. When you're dealing with your own family members, husband and wife, you can act ugly. It ain't in there. Right? Yeah, come on, y'all, talk to me. It ain't in there. When you're dealing with children, you ain't supposed to act ugly. Because the Bible says God dispatches even an angel to watch over them. See, they brought children to Jesus and they tried to keep them back. Jesus said, leave them alone, for such is the kingdom of God. He said, well, I'm nice with children, but some kids get on my nerves. No exclusionary clause. Amen. You're supposed to be nice no matter what. Amen. Because you know how you judge situations? You turn around and do the Bible says you do the same thing. But then because it's you, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God. God said, no. The same thing you measured out, meet out, will be measured back to you. Praise the Lord. I'm almost finished. Are despised thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Somebody said, you've been messed up and acting like this a long time, because God is long suffering. Not knowing that God has been good in spite of how you acted, because he tried to lead you to, he's trying to get you to change. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now we're still talking about God. Amen. And judgment, the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to every man? God said, you can fool one another and make up all these excuses for why you did it. God said, but I know the real you. And you can scream, you can put up a smoke screen and fool them. God said, you cannot fool me. I know the very deeds that you do and have done. I even know right now what you're doing. God said, I see you. You can't fool me. Amen. He said, who will render every man according to his deeds? To them who by patience, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortal life. But to them that are, what's that word? Contentious. And do not, God is trying to get us to just get it together. He said, obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and of the Gentile. And skip down to verse 11, and it's where we're going to close. The reason that we want to be more like Jesus, more like God, because when God finally starts judging situations, though you may have 1,000 excuses, with God, there is no respect of person, as we all stand. My desire is to be more like God. And to be more like God, I have to adopt the mindset of John the Baptist. As John the Baptist observed Jesus and observed his ministry, and you got to remember John the Baptist, as the elders and ministers come forward, John the Baptist's disciples used to say, Lord, John, why don't you do like the Lord is doing? But as John beheld his ministry, and then looked at his own ministry, he said, you know what? The reason I don't do what he do, because he must increase, and I must. Whenever we compare ourselves to God's word and what is truth, God's word should be on the increase, and we should be on the decrease. Tonight, our greatest desire should be to be more like Jesus. God said, when you judge, don't judge according to what your opinion or personal opinion is. Don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is according to God. But can we just stop judging so many things and start praying? If we pray more and judge less, we wouldn't put ourselves in a position. Because every time we judge a situation, God said, now, the same judgment you just used, I'm going to use that against you. Because of God's respect, what judgment you meet out will be measured back to you. Isn't that what the scripture says? Y'all, isn't that what the Bible says? The way you judge others is where you're going to be. So if you are hard in judgment, guess what? God is going to be hard with you. But if you have bowels of compassion and mercy, God said, you're just like me. Because I have a heart of compassion and I have a heart of mercy. So I'm going to be kind to you because you were kind to somebody else. If we would all practice more love, kindness, and godliness, the church would be better. People be running from the world to get into the church, but it's often people coming to the church because the church got too many people that are moody. So they're trying to escape the world because they're tired of dealing with attitudes. Can we make this a no attitude zone? I'm making some signs. No attitudes here. Then when you act up, I'm going to put it on my fan. They was spinning around. No attitudes. You got to kill these attitudes. Attitudes is strangling the church, strangling the saints, strangling family, because everybody got an attitude. Right? It's time for us to put those things aside. Our greatest desire should be to be more like Jesus. Evangelist Christmas.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.